We're going to talk about passionate pursuit today. What are you passionately pursuing in your life? And is it feeding your flesh or your spirit? Or you could say your white angel or your black angel, however you want to describe that to yourself. What are you feeding? What are you pursuing? An easy way to find this out is look at your finances. Where am I spending my finances? Look at your calendar. Where am I spending my time? Look at your priorities in your life. What am I in pursuit of? And is it building my kingdom for this world? Or is it building my kingdom for eternity? Because the Word of God calls us to be passionately in pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ and the afterlife. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. He died on the cross, took our sin, our guilt, our shame to the cross to pay a penalty that we could not pay, that we may have freedom. Part of that freedom is freedom of choice. I get to choose what RB does every day, pretty much. Some of my choices will have greater consequences than others. If I don't shower, it will offend some of you. If I break the law, I might wind up in prison. Right? One of those freedoms is the freedom of choice. So today, what do you choose to pursue, to follow, to chase after? One of my greatest joys in life is pursuing hound dogs through the mountains, chasing lions and bears, oh my. No tigers, just because we don't have them. I would chase them too. One of my greatest passions in life, if I could do it every day, I would do it every day. When I had hound dogs, I did it every day. I loved it. But for me, it was one of my passions I had to lay aside to pursue the Lord. Does that make chasing hounds awful? No. Does it mean nobody should do it? No. But that was a personal conviction of mine. I spent all my passionate pursuit on chasing hound dogs through the mountains instead of pursuing my God and a relationship with Him and what He has in store for me. And there was this one time we were pursuing, we thought we were chasing a bear. It ended up being a mountain lion. And we caught it, and we got it in the tree, and there was a forked tree, and then a tree fell through the trees, and it was kind of at an angle like this. And have you ever done something in your life, and you're like, wow, this is a bad idea, but you're too far into the idea? In my young mind, I saw a ramp to the mountain lion. Wouldn't it be cool to climb up this tree and touch this mountain lion? No. Well, first of all, just a disclaimer, hound hunters are a different breed of human, okay? Most of us aren't right in the head. Some people do it once and say, that was good for a lifetime. And the ones of us that enjoy it, we do it all day and every day. But anyway, I have this brilliant idea. Sometimes just light bulbs click. I'm like, this is like not a real steep angle of a tree, and it's a big enough tree I can walk up it, and I'm going to sneak up because the cat is sitting just beyond the fork. I'm like, I can sneak up and pet his back. This is going to be great. And his tail's hanging through the fork back down my way, and I get up the tree and get everybody and the dogs on the other side of him so they kind of have his focus, and I'm sneaking up this tree. I get to the cat. I reach out and touch him, and he goes, hi. No. He wants to know who's in his living room, and he's not happy about it. He comes around that tree so fast, and it was in that moment I realized this might have been a bad idea. So I have two options. Stay on the tree and face the cat, the devil, or jump. And I'm not real high. I'm 12, 14 foot maybe. It's not a super far jump. And I was much younger and more limber at that point in my life. I chose option B, jump. Luckily, when I chose to jump left, he jumped right, and things worked out okay. But sometimes we're in pursuit in life after something that we just want. We have to have it. We got it, and we get there, and it's like, oh no, this was a bad idea. And it's at that point, because of the work Jesus did, we come to that moment of repentance. I needed to turn and do a 180 and retreat from my actions. Because if I kept pursuing that lion further, he was going to get a hold of me. And it wasn't going to be a good got a hold of. Sometimes in our life, we pursue the flesh so far, and it takes us down a road, and it looks like fun, and it looks exciting, and it looks like what we want to pursue. And we find out there's death waiting us at the end of that road. There's hurt and pain awaiting us at the end of that road. But God gives us an out. He says, you don't have to continue down this road. You can repent, seek forgiveness, repent. The Hebrew pictograph of that is a house that is burnt completely to the ground, and you have nothing left to return to. True repentance is, I burn it down and I do not return to it. I turn and walk away 180 degrees in the opposite direction. Thank God when we get in passionate pursuit of the wrong things, we can choose repentance, make it right with God, and turn and go about pursuing what he's called us to pursue. In Galatians chapter 5, picking up at verse 13, reading through to 26, and then we'll break it down piece by piece. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So in this passage, there's a lot of things to pursue. Some are of the flesh and lead to death and not eternal life. Some are of the Spirit and lead to eternal life. But what do we need to be doing while we're in passionate pursuit? In verse 13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. As we're in passionate pursuit, we're to serve those around us humbly in love. One of the key steps in being in good pursuit is serving others humbly in love. How well do you serve the people around you? Number two, in verse 14, another piece of the puzzle is love your neighbor as yourself. Who is your neighbor? Not just your street address neighbor, but who's next to you? Who's in proximity to you in the workplace, in your places of recreation and enjoyment, in your neighborhood, in your community, in places you serve. Those are your neighbors. Look around you. These are your neighbors. How well do you serve and love them? Is it as well as you love and serve yourself? Verse 15. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Part of being in passionate pursuit is don't destroy one another. Don't bite, don't devour, don't slander, don't gossip, don't cheat, don't steal one another. But be in passionate pursuit, serve one another well. Verse 16 talks about walking by the Spirit and not the flesh. How are you walking out your daily life? I could chase hound dogs every day and have a great time doing it. And I go every chance I get still. I just don't have my own hounds. It's not very often. But I wouldn't lead very many people to Jesus in the woods. I wouldn't lead many people into eternity. Because when I had hounds, I hunted every night after work and every weekend. And if I wasn't working, I was hunting. You can ask my wife if I'm lying or not. It was pursuing things of the flesh, which God put this whole world here for us to enjoy as well. But that was my priority. That's where all of my time was going. And God calls us to be passionate pursuit of Him, seeking things of the Spirit. Verse 17 and 18. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We don't get to do whatever we want. Christ died to give us freedom. But it doesn't mean I get to do whatever I want, because not all things are beneficial for building up those around me, for showing God's love and kindness to those around me. What do you do with your freedom? Verse 19 through 21, and it talks about what are we passionately in pursuit about? Hopefully nothing on this list. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness and orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, when you're in passionate pursuit, make sure you're not in it of anything on that list. But what we should be in pursuit of, it gives us a very clear list: the fruit of the Spirit, picking up at verse 22. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are you in pursuit of those things in your life? Be aware. Pay attention. What am I in pursuit of in my life? Verse 24. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's a tough one to live out. Crucifixion is not an easy process. We're supposed to crucify our flesh. It's not easy to say no to our fleshly desires. It is an act of suffering to say no to our flesh and yes to our spirit. It's not an easy button. That's why he says, crucify our flesh. It's painful suffering in saying no to your desires. But the Word of God calls us to do so. Verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Stay in step with the Spirit as you're in passionate pursuit. What is the Spirit of God doing in the land today? What is He speaking to His people today? Because it's not what it was 50 years ago. It's not what it was 10 years ago. God is moving and advancing. At least our knowledge of Him is. Stay in step with what the Spirit is doing. In verse 26, the final warning, let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Stay in love and harmony and unity with brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus as we stay in pursuit. Sometimes you have to turn and leave that which you're in pursuit of. About 18, 20 years ago, I was guiding a bear hunt up on the St. Joe River. And we were in pursuit of a big black bear. And the weather wasn't good, and the first day we go out, the dogs strike and end up chasing a moose, which is not a bear. And they don't climb trees or stop anywhere, so they just keep going. This was before fancy GPS collars, so you just had your attenuator, which kind of told you the dogs are that way somewhere. And so the first couple of days were pretty rough, and the outfitter said he had enough dogs, so I didn't bring any of my own, except for one little puppy I had. He was, I don't know, 10 or 11 months old. Wasn't a very old dog and was just very young in training. So I'm hunting with dogs I don't really know, in country I don't really know, with people I don't really know. But our pursuit is to get a black bear for this client. So we're trying and trying and just everything that could go wrong, hound hunting goes wrong. And finally we get on this bear and we hear the dogs go down and up and down and up. And finally we get across a few ridges and we can hear them treed across this big creek there. It's called Simmons Creek up on the St. Joe. We can hear them treed over there, and I can tell they're not right across the canyon but a ridge or two back somewhere. And about then a rainstorm moves in and the rain turns to sleet and it's wet and nasty and cold. It's about like 45 degrees. Not a pleasant time to be in the woods. Meanwhile, my guest is in blue jeans and a cotton t-shirt and a cotton jean jacket, like not equipped for the weather we're enduring. And he's freezing and we're hiking down and we get down to the creek and it's a big creek, probably at least as wide as this building or close to, at least at the point we were. It's pretty large, and anyway, you know, we're not wading the creek because it's cold and hypothermia, all that fun stuff. So we finally find this huge cedar log, and it's like the best crossing log I've ever found. It's like 3.5-4 feet wide and like no limbs on it. It's easy. We get about halfway across the log and I hear splash. Yes. Yes. My guest has fallen off the log upstream and wanted to keep his gun out of the water. So he kept his gun like this as he fell face first into the water, and his feet rolled up and hooked on the log. So he is like buried underwater, pushed by the stream under the log. We're in a really bad situation right here. And so I have to jump in the creek and lift him out of the water, which isn't easy to do with the water pushing him under the log and his feet hooked on it. Finally got his feet loose, got him turned around. He about drowned. And now, of course, we're both soaking wet. We get out of the water, get onto shore, get him cleaned up, get our clothes wrung out. It's like he starts chattering, which is the first sign of hypothermia. He really wants this bear. We're in pursuit of the bear. I was like, yeah, we should probably stop and build a fire and really dry out, get warm. No, I want to get to the bear. It was like day 5, I think, of the hunt, and we'd been having a circus and finally had a bear in the tree. I could hear my pup there and knew his tree bark, so I was confident the bear was there. And the guy's like, no, I want to go to the bear. But in the bottom, we couldn't hear the dogs. And the antenna said they're still that way, somewhere. I'm like, well, okay, we'll start hiking. And as we start hiking, and of course, usually you warm up pretty good, but he's getting colder and colder, and pretty soon his speech starts to slur. I'm like, okay, now we're like phase 2 hypothermia. I'm like, all right, stop, we're building a fire. So we stop, we build a fire, get him mostly warmed up or pretty warm, and his slurred speech disappears, and he's still chattering and shivering. I can tell he's like core chilled, super cold, bad place to be in the woods. I'm like, I hate to do this, but we're leaving the woods. Like, we're not pursuing the dogs any further. Like, we're getting out of here. We're getting you back to camp. We need to get some warm fluids in you. We need to totally reheat you. And he's like, but I want to get the bear. I'm like, I don't think you can make it to the bear. Like, best option right now is to retreat from our pursuit. So we did. And by the time he got warm and everything, I hiked back in, got the dogs, left the bear alone. He was a happy bear. But the guy was never able to get back in there. Sometimes when we're on pursuit of what we want, we have to make those decisions. Like, this is a dead-end road. I'm not in a good place. And thank God, he sends us his Holy Spirit as our guide in life, if we will stop and listen. This guy was angry at me for turning around. He wanted to keep going. I'm like, my job as a guide is to read the condition of my client, look at their capabilities, their physical state, and to push them further or to draw them back, to take a nap, have a toasty cheese sandwich, or to keep pushing them toward our goal. The Holy Spirit's job in your life is that same thing. Arby, are you on track in a passionate pursuit of the right things? And I have to take that time personally to sit before the Lord and ask those questions. God, what am I pursuing that's not of you? What am I pursuing that's going to cost me my life or hardship or struggle or drowning in the stream on the way? What do I need to retreat from? So when you think about what you're in passionate pursuit of, stop and ask God, am I pursuing the right things with my life, with my gifts, with my talents, with all that you've entrusted me with, Lord? What am I doing? What am I in pursuit of? He did end up getting a bear to bait, not with the hound dogs. We didn't send him home without a bear. Just for those of you that need the end of the story. I mean, and he did live. He actually ended up shooting a bear we had caught 3 days earlier and he said was too small. And he didn't believe it was the same bear, but I'm 100% sure it was. So three last verses as we close today. Things we should seek and pursue passionately. Matthew 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus is speaking to his disciples here about all the everyday things in life that we need, like clothing and food and housing, you know, stuff, everyday supplies or needs. In verse 33, Jesus tells them, "But seek first his kingdom," meaning God's kingdom, "and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." If you're going to seek one thing in life, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first in all that you do. And God's promise is he will take care of the rest. He will take care of the rest. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. First Corinthians 14, verse 1. "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy." We don't have time to get into all the gifts of the Spirit, but there are a list of the gifts of the Spirit in the Bible. And you can do a simple Google search, Bible verse, gifts of the Spirit, and it will give you those verses if you want to look at them later. But eagerly follow, pursue in the way of love, and pursue the gifts of the Spirit. What am I in pursuit of? Should be the gifts of the Spirit in our lives. And the final verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. A warning of what not to pursue and then what to pursue. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Seek righteousness, faith, love, and peace. If you don't know what to pursue, that's a good list to start with. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. So as you're in passionate pursuit in this life, think about what you're pursuing. What are you pursuing with your time, with your talents, with your treasures? And God offers us this physical life to enjoy and experience and be a part of. But he has so much more available to us in the Spirit. And he has an eternity waiting for us in heaven. Make sure you're not pursuing things that lead to death. Make sure you think before you get to the end of the tree and meet the mountain lion face to face. And then have to make a split-second decision that could end in death or injury, as some warning labels would go. What are you in pursuit of? Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. God, we thank you for the desires that you place in our hearts. God, the passions, God, the emotions, God, that we get to feel and experience each and every day. God, we thank you for the beauty, God, of this natural earth around us. God, and all that there is to explore and experience, to know in your creation, God, to, God, give us a glimpse of who you are as our creator. And God, we just ask that you would place in our hearts a desire for the things of your Spirit, God, that you have available and waiting for us. God, your gifts, God, your fruit of your Spirit. And God, that we would apply them to our lives, God, to make the lives of those, God, around us, God, a little more loving, a little more kind, a little more patient. God, to bring a little more faith and hope and love into the world around us. Father, we thank you for this. God, we ask that you would just cause these seeds of the truth of your word to grow and develop inside of us. God, that they may bring forth a harvest that would honor and glorify you. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.